This episode is brought to you by Dietz and Watson.
Molly, it's time we have the talk about hot dogs.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm looking for a hot dog that's the real deal, Matthew.
Like a classic hot dog that, like, when you think of, like, the platonic ideal of a hot dog, I recommend Dietz and Watson's Dietz dogs.
Ah, well, I've heard that they're handcrafted and made using only Dietz and Watson premium meat.
I can vouch for this because Dietz and Watson sent us a big box of hot dogs and other delights, and wife of the show, Lori, and I had them for dinner last night. We had the classic beef Dietz dogs with toasted buns with sauerkraut and pickled jalapenos and Dietz and Watson ballpark-style yellow mustard.
Do you think you'd recommend Dietz and Watson hot dogs for fried rice?
Oh, yeah. Fried rice with some sliced hot dogs. I'm going to be doing that soon. Wife of the show, Lori, is going to be making the hot dog flour buns from Christina Cho's cookbook, Mooncakes and Milk Bread. Very excited for this.
And I'm especially pleased because Dietz and Watson does things the right way. So this means, like, no additives, no fillers, no artificial flavors, no cutting corners. You can feel good about this stuff.
Dietz and Watson. It's a family thing since 1939.
Shop now at dietzandwatson.com/the right way.
That's Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z, and watson.com/the right way. This episode is brought to you by Panama City Beach, Florida.
Matthew, I'm dreaming of a beach vacation.
Oh, yes. It is cold. There's a layer of white powdery snow outside, and I wish I had access to a layer of white powdery sand.
Which is exactly what Panama City Beach, Florida has. They've also got, like, endless family fun, eco-adventure, and romance.
Guaranteed romance?
Guaranteed romance.
Okay.
Okay,
we can't guarantee romance, but we can guarantee sugar white sands and turquoise waters. Make it memorable. Make it yours at Panama City Beach, the real fun beach.
Plan your escape today at visitpanamacitybeach.com. I'm Molly.
And I'm Matthew.
And this is Spilled Milk, the show where we cook something delicious, eat it all, and you can't have any.
And today we're talking about hot toddies.
We are recording this episode
hot toddies
at 10.09 a.m. on a Friday.
Toddy time.
Matthew, take me down your hot toddy memory lane.
Okay. I have a tiny bit of hot toddy memory lane.
Oh, this sounds really cute. Hot toddy memory lane.
Maybe I should have saved this for later.
A tiny bit.
I don't think I've ever had a hot toddy before. Oh, and if you hear a hissing in the background, that's the kettle. Around 2002, Seattle's Best Coffee, local coffee chain that is now mostly defunct, introduced a product called the Naughty Toddy. And I was like, oh, it must be something like a hot toddy. And even though I don't know if I knew exactly what a hot toddy was, I knew this had nothing to do with it because I found the press release from Seattle's Best Coffee debuts new beverage, the Naughty Toddy.
Wait, this is still online from 2002?
Yeah.
Okay.
Press releases never die.
Take
actually,
it away.
Everything is still online. You know, every mistake you've made. Every, like, bad photo.
You mean all those, like, old blog posts that I put up but then edited, like, a couple years later to get rid of stuff that I found embarrassing? Like, all the originals are still out there?
Yeah, I think so. Seattle, May 31st, 2002. Seattle's Best Coffee, a subsidiary of AFC Enterprises, today announced the introduction of a unique new summer coffee drink, the Naughty Toddy. The Naughty Toddy is a cold coffee beverage combining a remarkably smooth cold brewed concentrated coffee, half and half, and Seattle's Best Coffee's signature bittersweet chocolate. The Naughty Toddy ingredients are hand shaken, poured into a cup, then topped with whipped cream and drizzled with, this is my favorite part, drizzled with proprietary chocolate sauce.
Wow. This has absolutely
literally nothing
to do with any version of the word toddy.
Oh, the thought that popped into my head when I read this was this couldn't be, the only way this could be more different from an actual hot toddy is if it was a sandwich.
Yes, exactly.
Ooh, I just found a little chunk of yogurt mix-ins from last week's yogurt.
Yeah. I have no memory lane of hot toddies. I think that it was something that I always heard of. I think I heard of it occasionally in my 20s, maybe. Like, I would see it on a menu or hear somebody. Like, this was an age when I think I still watched some, like, shows on the Food Network or something.
Okay.
And somebody would occasionally mention
Hot
Toddy.
Okay, that makes sense.
It seems to be the most famous warm cocktail.
What about Irish coffee? I mean, Hot Toddy is the most fun to say, certainly.
It is. I feel like it's like a... I don't know. Because
I didn't mean that to be like a gotcha. It just popped to mind.
I still stand by the idea that hot toddies are
it's
like
good.
The,
stand up for what you like believe
the
in.
Classic entry point in warm the warm cocktail world.
Okay.
Ooh, I want to visit the warm cocktail world. But I want it to just
be... It's a very dangerous amusement park.
I want it to be warm, but with lots of cold cocktails. Do you know what I mean?
It's like a warm So it's like a warm place
world.
Where you can drink iced drinks.
Yes.
So like Hawaii.
Like our world, actually, is increasingly becoming... Welcome to our global warming podcast. Gosh, sometimes I have a really hard time remembering that this podcast is supposed to be funny.
Sometimes.
No, it's like, Matthew, did you ever watch Battlestar Galactica?
No.
So okay. Well, anyway, there was some... planet that they went to or some like space station or something where they docked at one point that kind of looked like a giant like a giant greenhouse or giant conservatory. What's the word I'm looking for? A giant like atrium filled with
a conservatory.
Okay. Filled with plants and flowers. And that to me is what warm cocktail world is going to look like.
Yeah, I like it.
But I don't want to drink hot toddies.
Could it have butterflies like the butterfly house at the zoo?
Yes.
Or the science museum.
Science museum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Matthew, let's talk a little bit about toddies because...
Yes. I need you to school me on toddies because I've never had one and I'm excited because it sounds great.
Okay. Originally, toddy was a mixed drink with just three ingredients. Spirit, which was usually whiskey, although sometimes brandy, sugar, sometimes replaced by honey, and hot water. So just, you know, liquor, sugar, hot water.
Okay.
Okay. Now, of course, we almost always add lemon juice.
So it's like you're making yourself like an English tea, but instead of a tea bag, you put in a slug of whiskey.
Exactly.
Nice.
Exactly. I hadn't thought about that. You know, now, so there are a lot of cranky bartenders out there who feel that the toddy...
Now, that's the end of the sentence right there. There's just a lot of cranky bartenders.
True story. Who feel that that the toddy has been... has been like turned into like a kitchen sink.
Oh, that now like you can get a toddy with like a slider sitting on top of it and that sort of thing.
Yeah. No, toddies now, like if you look online, you will see tons of toddy recipes for like with like a cinnamon stick and a dusting of cinnamon on top or like nutmeg grated into it or cloves.
We're going to make the most basic, right?
We're going to do the most basic. What I really like the idea of is that in Canada, they often replace the sugar with maple syrup.
Oh, I like that too.
A lot of people around the world replace the sugar with honey, which is nice, but then it just tastes like honey.
Yeah, although I could see that being like if I had a cold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get there. Okay. We'll get there. Anyway, so this is known also as a hot whiskey in Scotland and Ireland. So if you go there... You might order a hot whiskey.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway,
I'll try and keep that
in mind. Here's where things get a little perplexing for me, Matthew. Maybe you, with your scant bit of etymology knowledge, can help me.
I doubt it, but I'll try.
Okay. So the word toddy comes from the name for palm wine in India. It's made from fermenting the sap of palm trees. They pronounce it, so the word is spelled, I saw like T-A-A-D-I, I saw T-A-D-I. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's pronounced toddy. Toddy's the alliteration. Alliteration? Is that what I'm looking for? The way that we write it in English.
Transliteration.
Transliteration. Alliteration is different.
Wow, I did actually know something helpful.
Nice.
That's going to be the last of that.
Well, anyway, so I was not able to find anything online that explained how something totally unrelated to what we think of as today's toddy became today's toddy. Because, so palm wine, toddy in India, is not served hot. It has nothing to do with what we think of as toddy.
It's topped with a proprietary chocolate sauce.
Yeah. Anyway, but what I also found is that the earliest use of the word toddy to mean the drink that we think of today, this like hot whiskey drink, it was in 1786. That was before like the establishment of the British Raj in India.
Okay.
But was there already like a lot of trading going on or like cross-pollination?
Yes, yeah, I think so.
My history could use a little work.
So I think this is probably one of those things where it's like, hey, you know, I heard people in India are drinking this thing called a toddy and it's, you know, and it's alcoholic and it's really tasty. Like, you know, let's make what we think that's like.
Okay. Yes, that sounds about like what happened.
Yeah, but happened. I mean, I don't even mean that like in a derogatory way. Just like, you know, that this happens in the world of food and drink constantly, I think.
Yes. Yeah. What are other things that you
I don't know.
Think
I'm trying to think of one.
This.
Something will come to mind over the course of the rest of the episode.
There are no doubt tons of them.
Yes.
I'm sure. Anyway, people typically drink this in like wet or cold weather, right?
Yeah.
And
it's both today.
It is. It's both today, which is very convenient. And anyway, the way that I have made it at home, and I think I've made a hot toddy maybe like four times at home. And I've always followed this Epicurious recipe that we've got that I have pasted here into the episode.
And we'll link to it, spilledmilkpodcast.com.
But I'll be honest, I don't think it's great.
Okay,
and
so we won't
link to it. For today's episodes, I want to try David Wondrich, the well-known bartender and drinks writer.
He has
a column, right, for the Daily Beast?
I feel like David Wondrich gets a leg up because of his name, which sounds like wonderful and rich.
Do you really think that's why he's successful?
No, but it doesn't hurt.
Wondrich. I now
No. I want my own. Like, I don't want to.
Matthew.
I don't
wanna, okay, wait. What would it be? So if he's
so
wonderful
I want something
and
combining,
rich,
that combines like awesome and tasty.
Okay, Austy.
Okay, that's good.
Austy.
Auspicious. It's half awesome and half delicious.
Matthew Auspicious.
Okay.
Anyway, so, you know, like I hear a lot of people talk about drinking a toddy to like relieve symptoms of cold and flu.
A lot of people?
People all the time. Just I go to my local pharmacy. They're like, don't buy this Sudafed.
That's right. We're prescribing a toddy. Oh, I thought they would like give you a prescription, like dispense a toddy.
I do like.
They have cocktails on tap at my pharmacy.
When I have a cold or a sore throat, I do drink a lot of hot water with honey and lemon juice.
Sure, me too.
I do really find that the honey really helps.
Yeah, I don't think I actually want something alcoholic when I have a cold.
Really?
I feel like it's going to make my head feel kind of drier somehow. But I don't know. I wouldn't turn down a toddy.
I was trying to look up like, because, you know, people talk about alcohol dampening the immune system or whatever, but it's also a vasodilator. So if you have a stuffy nose, it can make your nose feel stuffier.
Oh, well, wait, but wouldn't a vasodilator like help drain?
No, because it dilates the blood vessels and there's already inflammation there.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, welcome to our comedy wellness podcast.
There are comedy wellness podcasts.
There are?
Yeah, there totally are. There's like, I don't remember what it's called. There's one from Canada.
Do they try weight loss supplements and make fun of them or?
Well, I mean, there's Oh No, Ross and Carrie, which is a show where they try like,
different cellulite treatments.
Well, they try like things that you should not do and then report back. Like they joined Scientology and they tried like, penis pills and stuff. Like black market ones.
So my mother actually just last night was talking about Scientology.
Uh-huh.
She in the 70s. So my mom went to secretarial school and then she worked for a number of years as a secretary.
Mm-hmm.
And
did she know secretariat?
She, at some point in the 70s, she took a course through Scientology, whatever, communication course.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Anyway, and she didn't take it to join Scientology, but of course, like that, you know, they always hope that's the end result of these things.
Yeah.
Anyway, just yesterday, after like 40 years, she received an email from the Church of Scientology, like trying to track her down and saying that they found in their, you know, books or whatever that she had taken a course with them in 1973 or whatever. They now see that she has changed her name to Weisenberg. They've been watching Matthew because back then she had a different last name.
Yeah. Wow.
So now her name is Weisenberg. But anyway, they found her email address and she has a different last name. And they found her anyway.
Now, on the one hand, that's pretty creepy. On the other hand, is it any worse than like a university, like fundraising department? Because they will always find you.
That's true.
Like the college that I dropped out of really seems to think that I'm going to suddenly decide to start supporting them financially.
Do you think that like universities have hackers working for them to find all our information?
I don't know if they would use the job title hackers, but I'm sure they, I think they probably contract with some
sneaky agents.
Sneaky people. I think there's probably, a whole industry of like, you know, we need to keep this person on the books, on the Rolodex. Mm-hmm. They hire Rolodex hackers.
Okay. I was really annoyed that my high school, when it started spontaneously sending me mail, as an adult, that it just took the liberty of changing my last name to my then husband's last name.
Oh, that's not cool.
I was just like, you know what, guys? I was not going to give you money anyway, but now I'm really not going to give you money because I just don't think that's, I don't think that's appropriate.
No.
Welcome to our comedy feminist podcast.
That definitely exists.
Our feminist. Oh, there are a lot of feminist comedy podcasts. Really good ones.
I mean, I feel like ours is one of them. I mean, that's not like the.
I feel like that's one of those things you can't
say about yourself.
You can't
right?
say about you. Like, you can't say I'm woke. Like, right, that's something you don't get to label yourself.
We're very good people on this podcast. We're like 9.5 out of 10.
I don't know,
don't
but at,
have
this,
a lot
but
of
at the same time, I think, you know, when I encounter like a writer or a public speaker or something who declares themselves to be a feminist, like I believe them. Why do I think we can't declare ourselves a feminist podcast? I don't think that's what we, I think we are feminists, but
because
I don't think
everyone
that's.
Everyone should be.
Yes. We should all be feminists.
Yes.
As the book says. Yes.
This episode is brought to you by Third Love.
Matthew, I have recently had it pointed out to me that I absolutely hate shopping in person in a store.
Okay.
And I'd never thought about this before. I think that I am...
Was this pointed out to you by a sales clerk?
No, this was pointed out to me by my partner.
Okay.
As we were standing in a store and I was like breaking a sweat and wanting to flee, Third Love is the bra company for me.
Right. It seems like bras would be the last thing you would want to buy online. And yet...
It's true, because they've got to fit you perfectly in order to be comfortable. That's where Third Love's Fit Finder quiz comes in.
Okay. What do you do?
Well, you go online. They ask you a number of questions. They show you some drawings. You get to sort of decide which type you are.
Uh-huh.
And then they point you toward the bra styles that are going to be best for your body. And these bras are designed based on thousands and thousands, maybe millions of women's shapes and sizes.
Okay, but what if I do that and somehow they send it to me and it still doesn't fit? Am I just stuck with it?
No. Are you talking about yourself personally?
Well,
because there might not be any of the bras that fit
that's
you.
That's true.
But me, I can wear it, wash it, and put it to the test for 60 days. 60 whole days. And if I still don't love it, I return it.
Okay. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they are offering our listeners 15% off their first order.
Go to thirdlove.com/spilledmilk to find your perfect fitting bra.
That's thirdlove.com/spilledmilk for 15% off today.
This episode was brought to you by Madison Reed.
And we live in an amazing time when you can basically do anything you want.
So, you know, here in Seattle, where...
Whether you should or not.
Here in Seattle, where it's winter, as it is in most of the Northern Hemisphere right now, we are complaining a lot about the weather.
Yes,
yeah.
I am.
I don't know about you, Matthew, but I really don't want to go out and like brave these icy sidewalks and roads for anything except the absolute essentials.
Right. I don't want to go to a salon to color my hair.
No.
I don't want to go to the drugstore and
to
look
get
down
your hair
the
color.
Endless aisle of boxes of hair color.
Well, this is what you should do, Matthew.
Or whoever I am.
You should get online at madison-reed.com. You can order online ammonia-free hair color delivered to your door for less than $25. And this stuff, like they can help you match exactly the hair color you want and give you the tools you need so that you can color at home with confidence.
Oh, but that is not all. This is going to run less than $25 delivered to your door.
I already said that, Matthew. Were you not listening?
Well, did you say that people can additionally get 10% off on their first color kit with the code SPILLEDMILK?
Thank you for pointing that out. That's code SPILLEDMILK at madison-reed.com.
I feel like we've spent a lot of time talking about hot toddies without drinking one yet.
Yeah, okay, let's drink one. And then I'm going to talk to you a lot about the words hot acid.
Oh, okay. I can't wait.
Okay. Let's try David Wondrich's hot toddy first.
Okay.
I found this. This was actually just published a few days ago on the Daily Beast.
Okay. Let's do it.
It'll be like a month ago.
But it's still dominating the news cycle.
Great. Here we go. Oh, this is the part where I'm going to vamp.
No, don't.
Okay, Matthew.
Tell me what to do.
So let's just make one.
Yeah.
Okay. You need to get a mug. Any mug. Okay. Rinse it with hot water. Okay. So rinse the mug. Get it nice and warm. Mm-hmm. Rinsey rinse. Then you're going to put one heaping teaspoon of sugar into the mug after you've dumped out the hot water. David Wondrich says that he likes to use Demerara sugar for this, but he says that white sugar works fine and that honey is also fine if you want your drink to taste like honey. Now you're going to do one heaping teaspoon of sugar in the mug. He's very specific about the order in which we do these things.
He's a bartender.
All right, one heaping teaspoon of white sugar going in. Now, Matthew, add a 2 or 3 inch strip of lemon peel, cut with a peeler, with as little pith as possible.
As little pith as possible.
Oh, wow. As little pith as possible.
Sounds like it's from Sound of Music, right?
Great. Now, add about 1 ounce of water to the kettle. I mean, from the kettle. About 1 ounce. It doesn't have to be perfect. He says about 1 ounce. He says like half an inch.
Okay.
Great. Stir to dissolve the sugar. Okay. Now, once the sugar is dissolved, add 2 ounces of your booze. So the original spirits for a toddy were made on old-fashioned pot stills, David Wondrich explains. So that means like French brandy, Jamaican rum, Scotch and Irish whiskey. Apparently the, quote, thick texture of the spirit means that the toddy will feel rich and silky on your palate as it goes down. Wait, don't stir! Add about another half ounce, another ounce of water, and now stir. He says very specifically that the order goes like this. You warm the mug, sugar, water, stir, booze, water, stir, and then you can drink. Anyway, so yeah, the apparently these old-fashioned pot still made liquors have this nice thick texture, so the toddy feels rich and silky on your palate as it goes down, says David Wondrich. Also, single malt scotch is a good choice. Bourbon can work if it's, quote, rich and mellow. Today we're using Irish whiskey.
Is one of those very evocative terms that I don't know what it is, but it sounds good. Like, I want all my liquors to be made in a pot still.
Hmm. I can't decide if I want a little bit more water.
Maybe.
Okay. So there's a podcast called Spilled Milk. Maybe you've heard of it. No, there's a podcast that the Daily Beast puts out called Life Behind Bars. It's with David Wondrich and Noah Rothbaum. And anyway, they got super mad recently about hot toddies and on all this kitchen sink stuff that's chucked into them.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but in that episode, David Wondrich basically says 2 ounces of booze to 3 ounces of hot water.
Okay, yeah, I think that's about where we ended up. Maybe 2.5 ounces of hot water.
This is nice, but like, I don't really know when I'd want to drink this.
Hmm. I think on a cold, wintry day.
I think
I could go for a little bit more sugar for myself.
I think I could go for a bit more sugar. I also kind of want it to be maple syrup.
Should we add a drop of maple syrup and see what happens?
Maple syrup. Yeah. So when I've made toddies at home using this Epicurious recipe that I don't think is as good as this one, I have used honey. And though the honey can be overwhelming, I don't know. I mean, if I'm drinking a hot cocktail, I really kind of want it to be soothing. Do you know what I mean? When would you drink a hot cocktail?
I would drink a hot cocktail when someone offered me a hot cocktail.
I prefer this amount of sweetness. I don't know if I can taste the maple syrup.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, but it is good.
It is good. What do you think? I want a squeeze of lemon.
Juice.
I do too. Can we?
I've been sent back to the kitchen to amend this toddy so many times.
So okay, Matthew, David Wondrich, who
Am I
is
just a warm toddy to you?
So apparently, when David Wondrich does not like it when lemon juice gets hot. He does not like it. He used the word hot acid like 8 times in this episode of Life Behind Bars.
You have said David Wondrich so many times. I'm starting to...
David Wondrich.
I'm starting to suspect that I'm going to be replaced next week with David Wondrich.
Anyway, so instead of using lemon juice, which will then get heated up and the flavor will change and whatever, hot acid, he likes to use a lemon peel... I don't think that I really get any flavor from the peel.
I didn't like express the peel. Was I supposed to do that?
No, he didn't say that.
But I mean, it's hot. That should like draw out some of the.
He did say that if we happen to have some oleosaccharum around, that we can use that.
Of course.
Have you heard of this stuff?
No.
I had never heard of it before. And at first I Googled oleosaccharin because that's what it sounded like.
Sure.
But then I learned that there is this. It is sort of like, it's one of those things that sounds super fancy and fiddly to us lay people, but fancy fiddly bartenders in the know, bartenders who like to get cranky, if you know what I mean.
Oh,
I don't know
what you mean, but I don't like it.
Anyway, so they make this stuff called oleosaccharum, and it's a way of getting like the essence of lemon flavor into a drink. And what it is so the oleo refers to oil.
Okay.
The saccharum refers to sugar. So this is basically oily sugar. The idea is you take...
God, why didn't they just call it that?
You take the... You peel a bunch of lemons, and then you basically mix them up with sugar, and the sugar draws the oils out of the lemon peels.
Oh.
And what you wind up with is this like oily syrup type stuff that is deeply infused with the flavor of lemon oil.
So wait, so do you use the lemon flesh or just the peels?
The peel. Okay. Just the peel.
All right.
And through the magic of alchemy, which I think I talked about last week. Ooh, you get the lemon oil drawn out by the sugar. I wonder what
and
else.
If you're lucky, you get gold.
What else could I draw out with sugar?
Oh, I think anything like rats, definitely.
Okay, I see what you're saying here. Anyway, it sounds like
neighborhood
really,
children.
It sounds
which you're always trying to lure.
It sounds fiddly and fancy, but apparently it keeps for a long time. And I totally get why bartenders
like would
do this.
It would be
this.
Easy to make. I assume you could like mash it with a potato masher, which would be fun.
And I think that like there's a certain school of thought too that if you have a vacuum sealer, that would advise you to use a vacuum seal it all in a vacuum bag,
and then just like stamp on it with your boot.
Just stamp on it. Sleep with it under your pillow. Get that sugar infused and oily.
I need to buy a new pillow, and I'm dreading it so much because I'm such a picky pillow person.
Why do you need to buy a new pillow?
Because my pillow's gotten all flat, and it's not gonna plump.
Is it a down pillow or
no,
like a
it's
foam
a, it's
synthetic?
A what synthetic, is it? You know, down alternative.
Okay. Do you like? Are you a side sleeper or a back sleeper?
Side sleeper.
Okay.
Huh. Dyed in the wool
side sleeper.
I will like shift from, as you know, you should know this, you shared a bed with me for 3 nights.
Well, I know, but I tried not to look at you.
I know, me too. I was like way over on my side.
Except at one point I did roll over in the night and touch your arm with my pinky finger and then quickly leap back to my side
of the
bed.
Oh, good. So it wasn't just me? All right.
No, but
great.
We
let's never speak of this again.
Wait, we haven't told the listeners what you did to me.
And do we have to?
So Matthew, when we were sharing a bed together in Oklahoma City, I felt like something against my butt. And Matthew was all of a sudden like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. And I was like, okay, whatever. I mean, we were both half asleep.
Oh yeah, I was
the alarm
more than
had
half.
Just gone off.
Right.
Anyway, you tried to grab my butt because you thought I was Lori. What I think is so adorable is that was your first impulse.
I mean, yes.
But it wasn't exactly like it was like a butt pinch. It wasn't like, I wouldn't want to be awakened that way. How does Lori feel about being awakened with her butt being pinched?
You remember this way better than I was hoping.
Anyway, what I also loved is how upset you were about it. I appreciated that. You should be upset about touching my butt. But I appreciated that.
Yeah, I was like, and also it was frustrating because like I made it through like, you know, we shared the bed for 3 nights when we were in Oklahoma, and I feel like I made it to like 99% of the way.
You made it like 99.9%
before
of the
doing
way
something
through.
Regrettable.
It was when the alarm went off on the third morning.
And I told wife of the show Lori about this, and she said, "Oh, I guess you missed me."
Oh, Lori, what a great, great wife of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Love her.
So, okay. So
David Wondrich.
I like this. I don't have a hot acid problem.
I don't have a hot acid problem either. In fact, it made me think of So there was some, so, you know, my mom did like a lot of diets in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And there was some diet that she did.
The hot acid diet.
I'm sure other people who grew up in the 80s will remember this as well. Some sort of diet that involved like, you would start your day with a glass of hot water with lemon juice squeezed into it.
I mean, that sounds good, diet or no diet.
I think some people do this today with like apple cider vinegar and cayenne.
Oh, yeah,
or
that's
something.
Like the master cleanse, right? Why do I even know this?
I don't know.
Probably because I was listening to some dumb LA-based podcast.
Anyway, my new co-host, David Wondrich, he hates this because no matter how you look at it, I mean, I'm just extrapolating from what he said about hot acid in a hot toddy show.
You're going to fire David Wondrich after 1 week because he won't stop talking about hot acid and bring me back.
Anyway.
And then you're going to be like, why did I bring Matthew back? This is way worse.
But he, so I like, every now and then on a really cold morning, if I'm feeling a little bit like phlegmy, when I make my coffee, when I boil water to make coffee, I will also pour some into a glass and put lemon juice in it and drink hot water with lemon juice because it feels good on my phlegmy throat.
Yeah, I mean, if David Wondrich doesn't like that, fine. You don't have to like a thing, but it doesn't seem like there's something inherently wrong with it.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. Like, there's a time when you want the flavor of, like, cooked lemon juice and a time when you don't.
Well, yeah, and, like, if you're baking, you know, the flavor of lemon juice tends to like, bake out, which is, so that's why I use
Whereas,
zest.
Whereas, like, zest, the oils in the skin.
I don't know. This is tasty. I like it.
This is tasty. This is fine, but I don't know when I would drink it. I want more lemon. So much more lemon.
We could squeeze in more lemon. I would drink it with my friend Molly at 10:35 a.m. right before my Japanese lesson.
There were some other recipes that I wanted to try, but I don't think we actually have time today.
No,
but we'll link to a couple others that looked good to me on the website.
This is an episode where I feel like we have a lot to learn from the listeners because I think there's probably some toddy fans among our listeners. And now every time I say toddy, like I hear the echo in my head, it sounds like body. And I keep thinking like, is it or is it not funny to take things with body in the name and replace it with toddy? Like Jeanette Winterson's written on the toddy, that sort of thing. That was Jeanette Winterson, right?
I don't know what you're
talking about. Toddy Heat, the classic erotic thriller.
Wait, hold on. Matthew, wait a minute.
Toddy of evidence?
Hold on. I did learn...
Jesse the Toddy Ventura.
I did learn. So you've heard of grog.
Yes. So I know it only as a thing pirates drink.
Well, I didn't understand that grog is essentially the same as toddy, but with rum. It's a hot rum drink.
Wow, that sounds great.
Yeah.
That sounds maybe like better. I don't know.
And some people, so a toddy can basically have any kind of liquid in it.
Like,
I mean, excuse me,
any kind of liquid?
Urine, milk. No, I mean any kind of
bilge water.
Well, just let me any kind of liquor in it.
Liquor.
It doesn't have to be whiskey. We tend to think of it as a whiskey drink.
But it could be creme de menthe.
It could be brandy.
Apple pucker.
It could be Geneva if you just got some of that
Geneva
lying around. It could be scotch. It could be rum. David Wondrich, my new co-host, talked about making a toddy with rum. And I felt like piping up and interrupting him on his podcast and saying, ahem, that's grog, not a toddy.
Wow. I guess you showed
but now
him.
Now I'm just getting uppity.
No, it's okay. You can talk about, you can talk to this. If you could never mind. I think it just the toddy just hit.
Do you have anything else to say?
I don't know. I'm trying to think
it's
of more
getting
things.
Better the more of it I drink.
Yeah, that's true.
It must be that I'm getting better too.
You are.
And by that I mean I don't know.
Yeah. Oh boy. All right. So we'll be back next week with David Wondrich, and I think actually you're going to be replaced also.
Who's going to replace me?
What's the name of the Pegu Club? Ashley something.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know that person's last name. I do know the Pegu Club.
Yeah. So
how about, hold on. Surely we can figure this out.
Mm-hmm. Shirley, you'll be replaced with Shirley. Jones from the Partridge Family. You can find us online at spilledmilkpartridgecast.com and on Facebook at facebook.com/spilledmilkpodcast. What When do you drink a hot toddy? Do you? I mean, don't just come out and tell us whether or not you drink a hot toddy.
But like, yes or no?
we'll put up a survey. We need to get to the bottom of this.
Would you tell us what your favorite formula is for a hot toddy?
Yes. Do you have a problem with hot acid? Who would you like to see as a new host? You can't vote for yourself.
If you want to replace both of us, let us know.
Yeah. I think everyone's just going to say Robert Krulwich and Jad Abumrad. I haven't listened to that show in a while. I don't even know if it's still on. Probably. What else? Oh, no, wait. Facebook. We said Facebook. Our producer is Abby Circatella at Spilled Milk Podcast on Instagram. Please leave us a review wherever you listen to the show. And until next time, thank you for listening to Spilled Milk.
Thanks. There was this guy who was a health educator who came to my grade school.
Oh, boy.
And he was dressed up in like a bodysuit, like a skeleton costume.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
But he also had one that was like all the muscles in the body.
Did he just change suits right in front of all the kids?
It was erotic.
Wait, did he have the muscle one on over the skeleton one?
I don't quite remember how this worked. But his name was Slim Goodbody.
Oh, I've heard of Slim Goodbody.
Maybe he...
I think he was a chain.
He was a chain?
I'm also wondering if
maybe he was on TV.
He was part of a clone army.
I wonder if he was on TV and didn't come to my school. That seems right.
Okay.
Anyway,
but I don't know.
How about Slim Goodtoddy?
Okay, Slim Goodtoddy it is. I'm Matthew Amster Burton.
I'm Molly Weisenberg.
I want one more toddy body joke.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.